In the Christian calendar, in the cycle of the Christian year, as we follow the appointed lessons Sunday by Sunday, as we reflect upon them and open our minds and hearts to understand pattern and meaning of them, we find ourselves led step by step to a deeper and clearer understanding of Christian faith and truth, and a firmer sense of our Christian privileges and duties. Today, on the second Sunday after Trinity, the epistle reading from the book of Romans offers us first a kind of summary of what the Christian year A, because we are in the year A of the year of Matthew, says in Matthew, and how we have been brought up to this point. The message is very simple and direct. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. That really sums up all we have been celebrating throughout the first half of the church year, from Advent to Trinity Sunday. The showing forth of God's love in Jesus Christ. And St. John says in his first letter, "This is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." And we just read from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 5, verse 8 says, "But God proves His own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." What a profound word of God. The book of Romans has been held in the highest regard by Christian theologians over the centuries. Countless people have become good Christians by reading it. Among these were Saint Augustine, who is known as the father of theologians, Martin Luther and John Wesley, just to name a few. So the influence of Paul's letter to the Romans is remarkable. It's remarkable. Some of the famous passages of the book are Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17, Romans 5 and Romans 8, and chapter 11. And these are indeed high points in the book. But the high points of the book are set up by Paul's detailed arguments in the other chapters. So I would like to encourage each one of you to read the book of Romans. And this morning we have read from Romans chapter 5, verse 1 to 8. Romans chapter 5 is set up by the example of Abraham in the fourth chapter of Romans, as the example of the one who was justified by faith and not by works. Paul had in the first three chapters showed the impossibility of being made right before God on the basis of one's own deeds. And today's reading, verse 2 says, "Through Jesus we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand." I don't know if you noticed that during the pandemic, the word access was used excessively. Many people were not able to access the COVID vaccine. People found it difficult to access other medical facilities. Access has become a key phrase in our technological age. Every Friday, I do get messages saying, "I'm not able to access the virtual prayer meeting. Or I'm not, thank you for sending me the password or the link or the Zoom. I can access the prayer meeting." Many of us have different passwords for our email accounts or banking or travel service and the online shopping. And if we forget the password, it becomes difficult for us to access these services. This is exactly what Paul is saying. Through Jesus, we have gained access by faith into the grace of God. The Greek word for word that is translated access here literally means admission. It's used three times in the New Testament in total, and it was translated access each time. Twice in Ephesians chapter 2 and 3, and once in Romans chapter 5. Faith is our admission or our ticket into the grace of God. No one is allowed in without a ticket. Our own good works won't grant us admission. God's grace can only be accessed by faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. Someone said, faith is a little bit like a tea bag. You will never know its strength until you drop it in hot water. Paul wrote for a world in which people were desperately trying to find the passwords that would give them access to God. Some thought that careful obedience to the law of Moses was the key. Careful observation to the law of Moses was the key. Others thought that the civic virtue was the key. But all became a religion of good deeds. Paul absolutely shattered that idea and quotes scripture after scripture against that thought. His astonishing claim is that there is only one password we need to remember, Jesus Christ, and that in Jesus Christ, everyone has access to grace. And suddenly the entire picture is reversed. It is not that we are striving to reach God. It is that God is striving to reach us. Grace. In our Old Testament reading from the book of Genesis, we are told clearly in verse 1, the Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre. It is Yahweh, the Creator Himself, coming to see Abraham. That's grace. It is not that we use Jesus to attain God's mercy. It is that God sends Jesus to enact the mercy that God has intended from the beginning of time. Last Sunday, if you remember, Jesus said, you did not choose me, but I chose you. In chapter 5 of the book of Romans, Paul applies the implication of what justification by faith entails. The first fruit is that we have peace with God. We have peace with God. This is made possible through our Lord Jesus Christ. This peace is based upon what God has done for us and not what we have done for God. The Jews revered and respected Abraham and felt that the covenant promises given to Abraham irrevocably applied to them as well. They were the elect. They were his physical descendants, after all. But Paul refutes this argument totally and says even they had to believe in the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Abraham was saved by faith. He believed God and it was counted for him as righteousness. Abraham was a man of many sins, just like us. We, like him, are saved by faith without reference to the works we have done, good or evil. Works are important, of course, but they spring from faith. We are not saved by good works, but saved for good works. In the book of Romans, Paul argues that God's gracious act in Christ silences any who boast in their own actions, status, and privileges. Grace, however, is not only the activity of God in Jesus Christ that reaches out to include everyone. In Paul's case, especially both Jews and Gentiles. Grace is also our dwelling place. This grace in which we stand. The book of Romans, as I said earlier, is the Apostle Paul's scholarly explanation of the new covenant, where he reveals how God deals with us through his mercy and grace instead of through our works of performance. It's what scripture calls the gospel. We use the word gospel to refer to anything related to Christianity. But when Paul used this word, he was describing the good news of everything Jesus did for us in his death and resurrection. It's God's love shown in Jesus Christ. It's God's compassion shown in Jesus Christ. When Jesus saw the crowd in today's gospel, he had compassion. It's God's compassion shown in Jesus Christ. That is good news, because most of us know perfectly well that the category of the ungodly includes us. Please don't get me wrong. Ungodly doesn't mean that we are bad or evil, but ungodly simply means not like God. And I don't claim to be like God when it comes to every area of our lives. But we are called not to be perfect, but to be faithful to our calling. What counts is not so much our access to God as God's access to us. It is not that we reach toward heaven, but that heaven reaches out to us. It is not that we are good enough or wise enough or obedient enough to gain God. It is that God has gained us for God's self. In our gospel this morning, Jesus summons the 12 and gives them authority and a commission. This is the first place where the 12 are called apostles, meaning sent. Jesus tells them that they will be sent out like sheep into the midst of wolves, and will be flogged and dragged before governors and kings. He calls us, like the disciples, to step out on faith and follow him. It may not be safe, but he will be with us. And that's wonderful, to have him beside us. For when we put our faith and trust in Christ, and Christ alone, then we are justified before God. And justified simply means just as I have never sinned. The Apostle Paul is essentially saying, when humanity was still stuck in the mess that is sin, Christ died for us. When, in other words, sin left the human race powerless to go to God in faith, God graciously came to us in Christ. Yet, what's true of humanity in general is also true of individuals, you and me. We profess that our own sin leave us naturally powerless to go to God in faith. So God showed God's self-giving, self-sacrificing love for us by coming to us in God's Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. God loves us not that we are lovely, but because he is love. God loved not the lovable, but the natural unloving, even at the cost of the death of God's only Son. In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.